Welcome to the Dave the Mystic Show. This is episode number 674 with medium, healer, and demon seer June Lundgren. This is April 8th, 2024 from Littleton, Colorado. This show is pre-recorded on April 3rd, 2024. Please consider signing up for show announcements through my website at www.davethemystic.com. Our guest tonight is June Lundgren. She's a psychic, medium, demon seer, healer, animal communicator, international author, nurse, television, and radio personality. She has appeared on such shows as Coast to Coast AM, Midnight in the Desert, Jim Harold's Paranormal Podcast, Ground Zero, and the television show Ghost Adventures, Graveyards of the Pacific, the Norblad Hostel episode. Raised by her maternal grandmother, she grew up communicating with spirits, animals, and angels. She is descended from a long line of women with psychic and spiritual gifts. She is called a demon seer because she can see, hear, communicate, and remove negative entities. She has been helping people resolve their paranormal problems for over 40 years. Her books include A Medium's Guide to the Paranormal, The Dark Side of the Paranormal, Paranormal Encounters Book 1 and 2, Out of Time, Demon Seekers, The Journey Begins, Demon Seer, The Awakening, the second book in the Demon Seekers series, Demon Seekers, Into Darkness, Demon Seer, The Awakening. Her new book, Dark Encounters, will be released this spring. She served in the military where she trained as a nurse and EMT. After returning from the military, she has continued to work in the medical field as a nurse and the paranormal field and as a paranormal investigator and consultant on negative entities. Welcome, June. Thank you for being on my show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, interesting background. So did you know from early childhood that you were communicating with the spiritual plane or entities?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's my grandmother's, like, I was literally dumped off on my grandparents a couple days after I was born. So my grandmother knew it right away because she was a medium and psychic. So there was a family prophecy that was from the 1400s that said there would be a female child born in the family who was able to see, remove, and communicate with demons. And she knew the minute I was put into her arms that that's who I was.
Well, very interesting. So, did this isolate you as a child from other kids, or did you learn to not say certain things around the wrong people?
Yeah, well, you know, when I was growing up, it's like when I was little, I thought everybody could do that. So, of course, it came as a big surprise when everybody couldn't do that. So I just kind of, I was much of a loner because they didn't understand.
When you were growing up, were there particular guides in the spiritual plane who came forward to help you? They were supposed to be there.
Yeah, my guardian angels or spirit guides are my great grandmother Hannah and my sister Anne, and Michael's always there. Michael the archangel, he's always there from the moment I was born on. So I'm used to seeing him, and the others, Raphael, Gabriel. You know, I'm used to those guys.
Now, does your clairvoyance extend to seeing, say, guides or entities around other people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can see demons around other people. I can see their guides. I can see family, you know, any of that stuff. Yeah. It's all right there. It's as if I'm talking to, you know, looking at them in the physical realm.
As a medium, are you a conscious medium? Do you ever go into trance?
I don't need trance.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't channel. The only person I've ever channeled is God. That was it.
Okay. So in mediumship with other people, you mainly bring through family members or friends in spirit?
Yeah, or their guides and guardians. If they have a message for them, it's usually, you know, something that's important. They don't show up unless it's important, you know.
Yeah, I'd assume at this point that you can do this face-to-face or you can do it remotely.
Yeah, I do a lot of it, you know. I do everything. I can do everything remotely, including, you know, demonic removals. as far away as the Netherlands and Australia. People just come to me and all I need is an email or, a call or an email or a letter, anything. And I know it's there automatically.
Well, I've been doing my own clearing work since 2008, and I've been involved in metaphysics and healing work since the early 80s. What have you seen in trends in dark entities getting bigger, more powerful, getting more creative in terms of how they show up?
Well, they're evolving, just as angels evolve, demons evolve. And sometimes I'll run across like a demon that's forced its own evolution. And when they do that, it's kind of like a crazy person in the physical world. They go a little insane. They don't have the same structure and the same MO as, the other demons do. They are usually by themselves. They don't travel in packs. And the other demons will shun them. They won't want to have anything to do with them. Not even the little creepy crawly dudes, the imps. They don't want to be around them because they're not stable. They're unpredictable. I've run into a handful of those, but most of them know better than to try to force their own evolution. They're getting more prevalent and they're interfering more in the physical world than ever before. And it's like God told me 3 years ago, he says, I'm taking back, the physical world. He says the dark ones have had it for too long. And so we started like 3 years ago doing a lot of mass removal like that. It's just getting crazier,
Well, absolutely. One of my viewpoints is we're coming up to a major evolutionary step, and the dark entities know something is coming and they don't want to be left behind. So it seems like they're coming out of the cracks and crevices and woodwork to try to be around people or our houses so that if we do make this major evolutionary step, they'll get to go with us.
Yeah, but they won't.
I know, I know. It's But they
They're like,
do seem to be really showing up in mass.
well, and especially if, they can do anything they can to create chaos to stop it from happening. That's their ultimate goal is stopping it from happening. And they can't as much as they'd like to. They might be able to slow it down a little bit, but certainly can't stop it. I've run into so many of them. Unfortunately, there have been a few ancient demons who have come through and come out of the woodwork in the last few years, and I've had to get rid of them. It's like they don't act the way normal demons do, and they don't die the way no normal demons do either. It's different, and they're much more intelligent than, even the old demons are intelligent, but these guys are even smarter than that. They have ways of manipulating things and people that's far above the other demons.
Well, when you remove or clear demons, where do you send them? What do you do with them?
I don't, and it used to be in the old days, I used to just send them back to the dark realm, but when I do a removal, I call it a removal, but actually I kill the demon. And in order to do that, because I have an archangel inside of me, so that's the reason I can kill a demon. I go into a different realm of existence. I call it no man's land. It is between the physical world, the light world, and the dark world is somewhere in between. And I go into this no man's land and we do battle like the old days, swords, broad swords, white light swords for the angels and dark swords for the demons. And when you slice through them, they just kind of disintegrate into like particles. It goes up into the heavens.
Tell me a little bit about your work on helping people when somebody is sending black magic at them or to affect them. How do you deal with that?
Oh, that's always fun. I love doing that because, people that do that. In fact, I had a gentleman that 7 years ago, He said there was a brouhaha that was doing dark magic and sending demons towards him. And when he got a hold of me, and I saw that there was a demon present. And then what I can do is I can follow the demon back to the person that summoned it. And once I do that, then I take that demon and I stick it on the person that summoned it and told it to me. And I told him, I said, make this guy's life a misery, will you? And if you
Okay.
don't do it, I'll know about it. And they'll never do that again.
Okay.
It's like, you're willing to do it to someone else. How about you how about you dealing with it? They don't like that when that happens.
Yeah.
But I have no mercy with them. You're willing to do that, you're going to pay the price.
Okay. One of the things I deal with sometimes are people who go on vacations and they buy souvenirs, and the
Oh,
souvenirs have
yeah.
some type of either entity in them or they're a tracking device for people to send stuff to harass them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They do that. I've had quite a few instances of people coming back from the Middle East that were our soldiers that were, they were putting, actually, they were summoning demons and putting them on our men. And I've come across quite a few of them that have gotten a hold of me. And so I've had to remove them, kill them. And, the poor people, they're just so miserable. One guy was, he was a sniper, and they put one on him. And he showed up with like bites on his arms and his legs and scratches down his back, and looked like somebody tried to strangle him at one point. So I had to just kill the demon, take care of business.
Yeah, years ago, I had a client, and he was homeless. He was going to school, but he was homeless, living in his Jeep. And he said his grandmother had been sending vampires to attack him. And I had to give him some credibility because he had pairs of puncture marks on the back of his neck, you know?
Yeah, it's like you can't exactly do that yourself,
Yeah. So, really strange stuff.
Yeah, there's all kinds of people out there, unfortunately.
Yeah, another one I've come across are I'll call them quasi or pseudo religious groups that end up as a group sending curses to people who are outside their group, and that really bothers me too when they try to wear that cloak and do that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, I've run across those as well, and it's like, payback's, pardon me, but payback's a bitch,
Yeah.
because I don't put up with it. It's like most people think, curses are like in Hollywood, and it's not that way. If you've got all of these negative intentions, all these negative thoughts and powers going towards you, it's going to manifest in making your life a living hell. And just like the demons do. And a lot of them are backed by demonics. So, and I just don't tolerate it.
Now, something I also find a lot of are dark witches in the astral realm who encourage people or back up people who want to do this type of spell casting and stuff. And I do my best to work with Archangel Michael to put them in a safe place and get them out of the off the playing field, so to speak.
Yeah, it's not hard for him. When I was a kid, he told me, when I was about 4.5 years old, I started seeing demons in their true form. And Michael said, don't be afraid. He says, that's, you're seeing them through the eyes of an angel. You're seeing them how we see them. And he says, I'm going to make you invisible to them, so they won't be able to see you. You can see them, you can hear them, but you won't, they won't see you or hear you. And so until I was about 17, 18, he kept me, secluded from them. Because at that time, when I was 4.5, he told me, I want you to watch them. I want you to see what they do. I want you to study them, learn how they work, because you're going to need it when you get older. And so you're a kid, you just think, oh, yeah, it's a game. Let's do that. They're pretty ugly.
What do you know about the jinn? Sometimes I work with gin on clearings, and it's more like they're just annoyed that people are moving onto their turf, not so much that they're actively going after people, but they do get a little irritated.
Yeah, it just depends, you know. A lot of them, they kind of remind me of the ones that are that just watch, the watchers. They're neither good nor bad. They just kind of watch everything. But every now and then you'll come across a bad one, you know, that type of thing. But you know, they just don't want to be deal they don't want to deal with anybody, you know. They just don't want to deal with anybody. And I've had to remove a few of them. But for the most part, once Ariel comes forward, they want to be anywhere but where she is. So they have a tendency to move on.
What are your feelings about Sasquatch? Are some of the Sasquatch demonic or evil, or are they just misunderstood?
No, they're not demonic, they're not evil. I went up to Trout Lake, Washington one time and with some friends, and I got that have that ranch over there, McGuire Ranch, and we went to McGuire Ranch. I sensed them. I could hear their thoughts. They are really good at communicating telepathically, which is quite interesting. And they don't want to have anything to do with us, plain and simple. And I can't say as I blame them, not a bit. You know, they just want to be left alone. So they're not bad at all. They get a little pissy sometimes, but don't we all?
Yeah, I've had people have rocks and branches coming at them, so
Yeah. So I can just leave them alone and you'll be fine.
Well, what are some of the other strange critters you've come across?
Come across harpies, which are kind of interesting creatures.
Do they look like the mythological pictures, or are they different?
They're kind of doing one way. It's like I was coming home one night. I was working at the clinic, and it was in the winter time, and it was dark, and I was, you know, it had some snow, so there weren't many people out. And I was coming down the hill. I heard this like flapping of wings, and I'm like, "What in the world is that?" You know. And my grandma's saying, you know, "Just keep driving, just keep driving." I'm like, "No, I want to see what it is." So I look up and here's these creatures, you know, they like have big leathery wings and they're ugly and they're got like claw-like hands and feet. So it's like, okay, they're kind of like scavengers of the damned, that type of thing. You know, they're scavengers, that's what they are. And it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever you want, just stay away from me. I don't need you, thanks. Seen those, seen elementals, of course. Elementals are quite interesting
Yeah, I've seen
creatures.
so many definitions of what an elemental is. How do you perceive them?
Well, like I went to Glasgow and Edinburgh, and I went to Roslyn Chapel, and behind they have a cemetery, and it's really a cool cemetery. Some of them date back for hundreds of years. And there were elementals playing there. You know, it's like you had the ones that look like what we would call fairies, and then the gnomes, and then there's I ran across one in the Tower of London that was not really very nice. It was kind of deformed and claw-like, and it's like it was pissed off about something. I just kind of like, okay, fine, I don't pay no attention to you know. Between that and the shadow creatures and you know things like that, it's just normal for me. I'm so used to seeing those things, I don't pay no attention. It's just like every day.
A friend of mine who's very sensitive, when she was a teenager one time, she was at home alone and they had a dining room that had sliding glass doors that went out on a patio, and the sliding glass doors were open, and she was standing there. And all of a sudden, out of the yard, this little green man, about 3 feet tall, runs in, hops up on the table, kind of looks her up and down, and then hops off the table and runs back out in the yard and disappears. It's like, wow, we have leprechauns in the US too.
Yeah, the classic elemental. Yeah, they're really protective about their, you know, the land and the water's ways and things like that. But I ran into a couple of them when I went to, I removed a demon from Battleground, Washington, and it was a demon that was entombed in the ground. And Lucifer entombed it because it went against him. So that was like a hodgepodge of things. You have the demon who was released from the tomb, and you have the elementals, and then you have the Native Americans that were trying to help this couple, this family. And it was just quite interesting. There were all kinds of themes there, and they had a portal in the backyard, and like, oh, this is cool. A little bit of everything. Let's just kill off the demon, then we don't have to worry about that. Everything else be okay.
Well, one time, for a while there, I got very interested in Stonehenge and looking at what was it used for. And it was certainly an excellent eclipse, lunar eclipse predictor, with the way it was set up. And I kept wondering why were the ancient people so tied into a lunar eclipse, needing to know it. And I ended up finding a fallen goddess trapped in a cave or cave with chains, and she was some type of pseudo lunar goddess, and she had them doing sacrifices to her, and she got entombed for it. And so I started working with her to see if she wanted to sort of be rehabilitated at that point. And I went back about a week later to check on her. And she was gone, the chains were broken, and she had been converted into raw energy. She had been just dissolved.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. They evolve into pure energy, and they take off. When I was at Stonehenge, it's like, you can't touch anything. You can't go up to the stones and touch
Right.
it. So I just took off my shoes because it was summer. I was wearing sandals. Just took off my shoes, and then I could see the building of Stonehenge. And I saw encampments on the way out to it. My son and I went, and we were riding on a bus. And, for about 20 miles out, you could see these encampments, small encampments. And they got more and more as I got closer to Stonehenge. It was quite interesting. If they go down another 10 feet, they'll find more.
Okay.
But they haven't done that yet. So they will eventually, I think.
Well, in what you saw, did they use anything besides just brute force?
Yeah, there were ways that they were using devices for leveling them up and stuff. It
Okay.
was quite interesting. I was, because what I was seeing was what happened in the past and how it got there. And it was quite interesting. It's like they were quite intelligent when it came to that. But I think they had help from the light, so
Well, I
because
look at the Great Pyramid, and their estimate is that they had to place a block every 17 minutes, something like that. And
yeah.
it's just, I'm sorry, you look at the marching army and all the support stuff for the food and feeding and the
Right.
animals and everything. And it's just, I can't buy it that was built in 17 years by pure
Yeah.
brute force. No.
Yeah, no. You need something more than that, 'cause there's no way. Yeah. But, a lot of people say that, there were aliens that helped and things like that. But, the thing is, when Atlantis was destroyed, there were, before it was destroyed, their priests were given the information that it was going to be destroyed. And so what they needed to do was they needed to send out into the world one of each type of person, like a mathematician, someone who built things, somebody that dealt with like electrical type stuff. They sent one of each of these people out into the world to teach man. And that's why there's a lot of interesting information. And they were supposed to teach man and pass on, their skills to them.
Well, talking about ETs, I come across dark ETs that I have to get out of space, but is there something that is worse than a dark ET? I mean, are there dark ETs that are demonic?
No, but there's space demons.
Oh, okay. Tell me more about those.
I don't like them, man. They're worse than our guys. Our guys are bad enough. but the space demons, you know, they go from sentient being to sentient being causing problems. It's like, I know ours is bad. You know, you got the lesser demons in the physical world causing chaos. But these guys, you know, they skip from planet to planet. Whatever's inhabited, whatever they can do to, you know, cause chaos, they're all about that. And it's now there's not so much like dealing with them like here where there's you know, possession cases. It's more like they just want to cause problems, you know, physical world problems wherever they are. They go into the minds of these beings and they cause problems. But you know, demons are demons, they don't change. You know, whether they're space demons or just to have a little more power than our demons do here. Do you have to
Well,
deal with them on a different level?
I noticed that you said you're a nurse. Are you still practicing?
Yes, unfortunately for me, I tried to retire in August of last year, and I was like headed out the door. They finally found somebody to replace me, and they said, "Well, how about working from home?" And I'm like, "Oh, man." I said, "If I can work from home, I'll do it." I said, "Otherwise, I'm not coming into the clinic anymore. You know, 46 years is enough."
I was going to ask you, so since you with that background, what are your thoughts on people who have they believe that they have some entity in them talking in their head, they can't turn it off, and where is the dividing line between that and organic mental illness that looks like schizophrenia? Where
Yeah,
how
see
do you
that.
see those balancing?
Well, this the thing is, you know, it's like if I didn't have an archangel inside of me and able to tell the minute I connected with somebody what was there or what wasn't there, then I'd be, you know, saying, you need to go see a shrink, you know, some signs and symptoms. But if there's somebody that coming to me and I don't see anything there and I'll do my best to tell them, well, you know, I don't see anything negative there. You have your guides and your guardians, and I'll give them their names. And I'll say, well, you know, maybe you should, you know, get some counseling. I said, they'll help you with this. And I just do my best to get them into counseling of some form. But if they are a demon, then usually it's one of the things that the demons look for is somebody with, you know, substance abuse issues, mental health issues, abusive situations, you know, lack of confidence, lack of, you know, belief in themselves or anything else. And so when I see somebody like that, you know, that's the reason the demon was attached to him and attracted to them. So once you take out the demon and its influence and remove all the negative energy that's left from them being there, then they return to normalcy. You know, it's like people tell me that they can tell the minute it's removed because they just feel like a whole different person.
So what are your feelings about this situation? I have a lot of female clients who end up sad to say, being partnered with a narcissist. Are narcissists, is that a behavior pattern from childhood, or do they pick up demonic influence somewhere and that makes them doubly repulsive?
A lot of it is just plain human stuff, you know, it's from childhood. I mean, there are people that are narcissistic that are like, you know, heads of companies, you know, head of, you know, look at Waco, head of religious sects, you know, that are. And those are the type of people that the demons really look for, because what better way to influence a wide variety of people and a lot of people than by going after somebody like that who's easy to control and who has a lot of influence over, you know, hundreds, thousands of people. You know, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for big guns, you know, unfortunately, but that's what they do.
Something that happened several years ago, and just get your take on it since you're clairvoyant, and that's the idea that a lot of our political leaders have reptilians tied into them and following them around and controlling them. And to the point where some people say, yeah, I see it on TV that, I see reptilians stand behind these leaders. And controlling them. What's your take on that?
Well, there's a lot of demons there, that controlling, but the reptilians were ones that really served the ancient demons. You don't really find them too much with your plain everyday demons, but when every time I take down an ancient demon, there are reptilians that are serving them, and they're just they're working under them, working with them. It's almost like they're in a command. The ancient demons ahead, and the others are make up this board or paneling, and they make the other demons do all their bidding and things like that. They supervise everything because they're more intelligent than the regular demons, for the most part.
Now, when people have demons around them, how much influence do the demons have on their physical health?
A lot.
Can they pull them down?
Oh yeah, they can. The case I went in on Battleground, for instance, the wife had never had a sick day in their entire life. Within 2 years of moving into that house, she was dead from a rare form of cancer that only one in every 10 million people get. And it killed her in a matter of, I'm sure it took about a year and a half. They make your health go down. They isolate you from your support system. They make you have financial issues. They'll talk to you. They'll tell you that you're never going to get away from them. Nobody can help them. That God is just, not going to help them, that he's deserted them. They basically try to brainwash them. And the people that are living with them, people think it just affects the individual, but it doesn't. It affects anybody and everybody that's within their inner circle. The person that is attached to may, hear the voices, hear the growling, and husband or wife may not hear anything or see anything. And that's how they work to get you to think, that you're going crazy and that your family's thinking you're losing it, and so your support system disappears. It makes you much more vulnerable to them.
Yeah, I was working with one woman, and she called me up after she got back from a cross-country trip with her husband. Her husband was always skeptical about what she thought she was being bothered by. But that disappeared when one night in the hotel, something starts pulling on her leg, trying to pull her off the bed, and grabs her arms, and he's in a tug of war with something he can't see. And that was pretty convincing to him. So he came to the side of saying, okay, what do we do about this now?
Yeah, a lot of people, they have to see it to believe it, and some don't even believe it. I mean, I'm married to my husband. I've been married for 36 years, and he's a very left brain. He's agnostic. He believes in a higher power, but he doesn't give it a name. And we were down visiting my cousin at the coast. We were staying at one of our timeshare places, and I'm upstairs, and I felt a negative entity come in. And I hear him bellowing from downstairs saying, "June, get down here." So I run downstairs, and what he sees is a black mass. And he says, "What is that?" The minute he says that, it went shot out through the French doors there. And I told him, I said, "Oh, I said, that's a demon. Welcome to my world, dear." He's like, "I never want to see that again. Never, ever, ever." I said, "Good luck." I said, "You're married to me. You'll see a lot of things you don't want to see." And like seeing my grandmother and walk down the hallway and check on the baby and my sister, who's been dead for a long time. And he's like, "Will you tell him just leave me alone?" I said, "Well, you said if you can't touch it, feel it, or see it, it doesn't exist. So they're making sure that you can." Hey, what the heck,
Well, another phenomenon we've had for a number of years are orbs, and orbs seem to evolve. At first, when they were first showing up, I had the impression, just my own sense was that most of them were representative of something, good or helpful, or at least benign. And now it seems like orbs are kind of the Uber vehicle to bring through just about anything. Do you see dark things coming through with orbs.
Yeah, the thing is the orbs are low energy manifestations of whether the dark ones or just regular souls. The angelic ones are different. The dark ones are either red or dark in color of whether black or gray. But most of the other ones, angelic ones, I have on YouTube a removal that I did at a friend's house. And in one scene, you can see this beautiful blue orb with two white orbs like attached to it. It's Michael. He
Okay.
was leaving. It's an archangel. That's his low energy manifestation. He's like, we won't let you see us as, you know, you can't record us as we are per se,
Yeah.
but that's the low energy manifestation of it. A friend of mine was like, well, why can't we? I was on this show and he's like, why can't we see him? I said, you can. I said, I'll ask him to come. So what happened was we filmed the first interview with me. Okay. He filmed two people, the first girl, and then he filmed my interview. And afterwards, he was like afraid to tell me that nothing recorded. And he recorded it on a Blu-ray. The computer in that he has and the computer in the studio, but nothing was there, absolutely zero. So he asked, he thought I'd be mad. I just started laughing. And he's like, what? I said, well, I deal with the dark ones. I said, this kind of thing happens, you know, they can
Yeah.
manipulate all that stuff. So he came back again and he says, I want you to, you know, so we did the interview again. He asked Michael to come with us, and he actually saw the reflection of Michael in the monitor. When you're on the set, you watch the monitor, and he saw the reflection. But his wife was about 32 minutes into the recording. His wife saying, "You know, this cold air has been blowing on me for the last 30 minutes, and something broke that." And then she said, "I had the impression of a huge wing as it went across." And then my friend saw the reflection and felt Michael put a hand on his shoulder. And then I asked Michael telepathically, I said, it's coming. He says, I know. So I felt, you know, the good souls will come when he's present in the physical world. And I felt a dark one come in. And I said, yep, you got it. And he said, yeah, I got it. So I saw him wrap his wing around it and shoot it down into the dark. And you can hear the demon scream in the soundtrack of it as it's
Oh,
taken
wow.
down. About 32 to 35 minutes into the recording, you hear it scream. And he's like, you know, my friend's like watching it after he gets out of, we get through filming it. He's like calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, yeah, you'll never hear what I heard up there. I'm like, oh yeah, that's normal. Don't worry about it. It's kind of like when I went to do the Ghost Adventures. Jeff Ballinger called me, you know, to interview me on the phone. And all of a sudden he hears this growl and then the call drops. And he calls me right back. He said, what was that? I said, nothing, just a demon. Pray continue. It's okay. That's normal. Just keep going. He's like, you're kidding. I said, no, I wouldn't kid you about a thing like that. So they come through the car radio, they come through the television, they come everywhere. They make no difference. But it just happens. A lot of times when I do an interview, people will say, well, tell me, you know, there's something, we heard something in the background, you know, we heard some demonic growl or whatever. I'm like, yeah, they don't like me talking about them. There you go.
Cool. What's your take on chemtrails? Are those involved with dark things or demonic things?
No, they're involved with man's
Okay.
stupidity.
Okay. I didn't
Unfortunately.
know if you had the impression that there was something else influencing those.
But no, that's just man's stupidity. Because I
Okay.
looked into it once. I thought, oh, okay, is there something behind this? You know, like, oh no, it's just human stupidity. There we go.
Well, I've seen things online where if they pin them down in Colorado, it's supposedly that it's cloud seeding, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah.
And I don't
Just
know.
like heart.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So they're gonna mess with it.
Yeah, they mess with it all the time. They can't leave things alone.
Do you have difficulties keeping electronics alive?
No, I put protection around my house and the things that I have.
Okay.
So, and if they, you know, and it's usually because whenever I put protection around it, it's Ariel's protection. So it has her energy. So the negatives can't and won't touch it. They don't want to be anywhere near her because she is one of the elite demon slayers.
Okay.
I have a friend in Glasgow, and he has Hainul the Archangel within him. And Hainul and Lucifer were great friends before the war between heaven and hell. Only it wasn't, there wasn't no hell back then. And so he goes and visits him from time to time, Lucifer does. And because he says, you know, he fought for what he believed in. And I'll never fight fault him for that. So he goes and sees him from time to time. And that one time he asked Lucifer what he thought. He calls me Auntie Ariel. He says, what do you think of Auntie Ariel? And Lucifer's response was, respect the assassin. It's like, that says it all. Because he knows she'll take him out if she has to. Not a problem for her. She don't care. She's all about doing her job.
Oh, good, good. Well, you have a website that I've seen. Which one's the best one to find out about you and contact you?
It's mysticconnections.org.
Okay. And there's the other one, the Demon Seer. Is that still on?
That feeds into Mystic Connections, yeah.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Either
Fine.
one will get you there, yeah.
And do you teach classes?
I just taught a class at the Oregon Ghost Conference on signs and symptoms of demonic removals, of demonic attachments, but I'm actually thinking about doing some classes. I just have to get everything situated before I can do that. But I'd like to do that. I'm going to put up my class on signs and symptoms of demonic attachment and see how that goes over, which I'm hoping it will go over well. It did. I had a sold out class, so I'm like, okay.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
And you do individual appointments with people?
Yeah, for readings. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And can that all be found on your website for
Oh,
booking up?
yeah. Yeah, they can just get a hold. What they do is they pay for it, and then it sends me a message saying that the person has paid, and then I get a hold of them personally and schedule their appointment time,
Okay.
everything.
Okay.
And demonic removals, I do. People get to me through the Demon Seer one, and I don't charge for that because that's God's work. You don't charge for, you know, if you're freely given, you freely give. So that's the fun part of my job.
Well, you seem to have a good sense of humor about all this. I'm glad to see that.
You got it. You know, it's like I have a group called Ghosts and Girls Paranormal, and I made up the logo, and the logo is one girl standing in the front holding out a digital recorder, and the other one behind it. You know, peeking around a corner, and then there's a ghost behind it looking scared. But that man, you know, what I do is dark. You got to have a sense of humor. Come on.
Well, have you ever visited any of these famously possessed or haunted places, like some of the mental health hospitals that have been shut down and things like that?
I went to Alcatraz. I've been all over England. I removed demons from a place called The Cage in St. Osyth, England, which is considered the most haunted location in all of England. Not anymore. I take care of
Okay.
business. No more demons there anyway. I don't care about the human spirits. It's the demon ones I don't want infesting the place.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Well,
I've been a lot of different places. Yeah.
I have some disagreements with people who do the paranormal investigations because especially when I find earthbound spirits, There's no legitimate reason for them to hang out here. We got to get back to the spiritual plane and to keep them there for
For entertainment
showmanship.
purposes. Yeah, I don't like that either. It's like I went to one place locally, which I shall not say the name. No removing the human spirits. And I thought, okay, sure. I don't think so. That, if they want to go, I'll make sure that they go. I'm not going to sit around and make them dance for you because I want to. You get the people that, will provoke the demons, and like, which is what happened with Zach, on Ghost Adventures. I told him when I was doing the show, I said, he's here. This old demon is coming here to tell you something, give you a message, and you better listen. If you don't listen, then it's on your head. I told him, the old demon said, don't provoke us. And he said, if you do, you'll pay the price. And then after that's when he bought the demon house, and that same old demon that came to that to the that the show when I was on it was the one who took his sight. I'm like, I told you, don't be messing with him. What kind of idiot messes with something you can't see, you can't hear, you can't feel? Don't do it. It's a no-win situation. You're always going to lose.
The image I give to people is you don't go up to a hornet's nest and whack it with a stick and say, I dare you to come out.
Yeah, or for people, for human spirits, you wouldn't go into somebody's hell house and tell them to get the hell out, or do something. I mean, people would knock you upside the head. It's, spirits, human spirits are no different than that. Get out of their face. Don't do it. That's
Yeah, I
not
had to
right.
help remove one in Central City, one of the old gold mining towns here that's become a casino place.
Oh yeah.
One of my friends who did do paranormal investigation, she said there's an earthbound there hanging around the front steps, and he's gotten very protective of the building, and he's starting to push and trip people on the steps. I said, okay, time for him to go.
Yeah, yeah. If they're causing a problem, that's one thing. Or if they're, lost, or they're trying to find help, then that's a whole nother situation. But if they're not bothering nobody and their family, leave them alone. If they want to stay and watch over the family, then they can stay and watch over the family. I'm not going to tell them what to do.
Very good. Well, this has been wonderful talking to you. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for asking me. I enjoyed our talk. I always do enjoy people talk.
Okay, and again, this will air soon. And for the week after this show, for our listeners, please join us with Trevor Griffiths. And thanks for listening and have a great week.